What about the Arminian view?
Well, the Arminians say, that's all well and good what you say, but it flies in the face of other texts of the Bible. And they try to support the other side. So they point to texts, first of all, that warn against apostasy. Matthew 24, 3 through 14. Take heed that no one leads you astray. False prophets will arise and lead many astray. Love of many will wax cold. He who endures to the end will be saved. That's all from Matthew 24. There are other warnings like this in Scripture, aren't there? Even warnings from Paul, who's supposed to be the great Calvinist. Colossians 1, 21 through 23. Also Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, that he who thinks he standeth, take heed lest he fall. And then, of course, you've got that credible book of Hebrews in which there are 96 different verses warning against apostasy. Well, surely there wouldn't be all these verses, the Arminians say, unless you could really fall away. And then secondly, there are numerous texts that Arminians use that focus on urging believers to continue in the faith. We could call them exhortations to faithfulness. One example would be after that warning passage in Hebrews 6, verses 11 and 12. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope to the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit promises. Well, all of these things, Arminians say, would make no sense if the doctrine of perseverance were true. Other texts you might refer to, one is 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27, where Paul says that he brings his body under subjection. He buffets himself, lest he should himself be a castaway. Doesn't that imply that his salvation could be lost? And then thirdly, there are the examples of apostasy. Arminians would cite especially Hebrews 6, 4 through 6, and Hebrews 10, verse 26 and 27. Those are doctrinal examples of apostasy. But what about actual cases? Well, they would pick up on King Saul in the Old Testament, chosen, anointed king, but fell away through disobedience, lost his position. Or Judas Iscariot, betraying the Lord Jesus. Or Ananias and Sapphira. Hymenaeus and Alexander have made shipwreck of their faith, 1 Timothy 1, 19 and 20. Demas, 2 Timothy 4, verse 10. They would say all these individuals were actual believers who departed from the faith. And then fourthly, Arminians raise several practical objections to the Calvinistic understanding of perseverance. They believe it's in conflict with the doctrine of human freedom, freedom of the will. They argue this way. Arminians are logical creatures too, you know, especially the old Arminians. They accuse the Calvinists of being always logical, and they were just as logical in return. They say this: if it is certain that those who are in Christ will persevere and not fall away, then it must surely be the case that they are unable to choose apostasy. And if they are unable to choose apostasy, they cannot be free. They're robots. But that cannot be right, because Scripture depicts human beings as free beings, repeatedly exhorted to choose God, held responsible for their actions. Well, this is the debate that was taken up between the Arminian John Goodwin and the Calvinist John Owen. I've given you the bare bones outline here, and I've got on the outline excursus. And what I'm going to do for the excursus, for time's sake, is I'm just going to refer you to the pages of my dissertation. I was going to actually lecture off of those notes, but I'll let you read it. I think it's an interesting debate, and I've tried to condense the whole debate, giving you the main points of John Goodwin. It's a very convoluted debate because they go back and forth. The main points of John Goodwin and the main points of John Owen in five pages, 167 to 171 of Quest for Full Assurance. Now, okay, how do we resolve this problem, this tension of these two different sets of texts?